I said Wednesday night that we were going to look at kind of a part two of last week's message on the generation thing, and something the Lord kind of revealed to me this week. So this morning we're going to talk about the temple and the second month. And so let's just go ahead and get started. It's kind of cool that we talked about the rapture of the church, because the two most anticipated imminent events in Bible prophecy are the rapture of the church, which could happen right now, God bless you, and the construction of the third temple, right? And why do I put the third temple construction right up there with the rapture of the church? Because both of these events are world-changing events, in my opinion. You can talk to people about the last days, and they're scoffers. And I try to use Israel as a good argument. You know, I could see you being ignorant prior to 1948 or prior to 1967. But in 1948, God promised in the last days there would be an Israel, they would be in Jerusalem, and they would have a temple. And we have seen two of those three happen in our lifetime, or our parents' lifetime. Some of us weren't around in 48. So we're going to talk about the second aspect of that. But before I do, let me just kind of review what I talked about last week. As I mentioned, there was a guy back in 1988 that wrote a book called 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming to 1988. And he based that on the 40-year generation from 1948 when Israel became a nation. Well, obviously, Jesus didn't come in 88. And I'm not predicting he's coming again soon. I am simply saying that from a biblical standpoint, a generation is not necessarily 40 years, but 70. We saw the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. The generation that was born at the time of Christ lived 70 years with the temple, and then it was destroyed. The Jews were in Babylon for 70 years. Daniel chapter 9 speaks of 70 weeks. So God likes the number 70, and who are we to argue with him? And last May 14th, 1948 to May 14th, 2018, was the beginning of the 70th year, right? And so, in my opinion, and as I mentioned last week, something I believe is going to happen before we click over to the 71st year, which would be, you know, prior to May 13th of this coming year. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. Now let's just a couple other verses. I made reference to this, but I didn't read it last week. Matthew 24:32. Through 34, Jesus said, "Learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and it puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And last week our focus was more on having a Daniel heart, a prayer of repentance, because when Daniel read in Daniel 9, the book of Jeremiah, or the scroll of Jeremiah, said that there would be 70 years of captivity and they would get to return to Jerusalem. Daniel didn't start a political movement. He started a prayer of repentance. And when we see ourselves on the cusp of something God is getting ready to do, we want to be a part of it. So rather than worry about what's going on without, we need to worry about what's going on within. Daniel got on his knees and began to confess his sins and the sins of his people because he wanted to be a part of what God was about to do. How many of you guys want to be a part of what God's about to do? Amen? And so Jesus said, when you see all these things coming to pass, that this generation won't pass till all be fulfilled. And I don't believe that I'm not saying that since we're at the 70 years that everything has to be ended by the end of the 70th year. What I'm simply saying is that the things that God has to set up timing-wise are going to be in place by the end of the 70th year. Now, does that mean the rapture may come between now and then? Could be. We could see a war in the... I mean, if you've been following what's going on in the Middle East, you know, when Russia sent those S-300 missiles into Syria to prevent Israel from flying in and bombing anymore, they weren't going to be active till January. And Israel, for over 6 weeks now, hasn't bombed any targets in Syria till the night before last, when they went in and started blowing things all off the map again. And now the U.S. is flying round-the-clock F-16 missions in Syria and Iraq, and Russia's got aircraft carrier. We've got aircraft there. It's if you don't look these up on the internet in other sites other than the U.S. news, you won't have a clue what's going on. So we could see a war in the Middle East. We could see it end with Ezekiel 38, and we could see somebody go in and say, "We'll build you a temple. We want peace with Israel." And we could see all that before May. I'm not saying we will, but we could. So we're going to talk about the temple a little bit because it is very important. The month of May on our calendar is the month on the Jewish calendar. Before Babylon, they called it Ziv. And after the Babylonian captivity, they changed the name to, how do you pronounce that, Eddie? I-R? I-Y? IR, that's the way I would say it. Okay, so that's and we're talking about May because May is a date in the Bible that gets often overlooked. May on our calendar, we think of April. April is the first month, and that's Passover, which was also resurrection, right? Crucifixion, resurrection, Passover, all those occur in April. You know, 50 days later after Passover is Pentecost. Those usually fall in June. So we always are looking at, we're always looking at April, and we're always looking at June, and we jump right over May. So we're going to look at the month of May in the Bible, since May 14th is when God chose the date for Israel to become a nation again. Maybe there's something to look at for the month of May. Numbers 1:1. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month. That's that month I was referring to, which falls in May on our calendar. In the second year after they were out of the land of Egypt, saying, take the sum of the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male at their post. Now the book of Numbers gets its title because God tells them to do a census at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book. It's about the Jews. It's about the number of Jews. It's about the Jewish nation and how they now exist. They were not a Jewish nation when they were in Egypt. They were a Jewish people. You can't be a nation when you're inside somebody else's nation. You have to be apart from them to be a nation. And now, after the Exodus, God establishes the Jews as a Jewish nation. He has them numbered. And he does it on not the month they came out of Egypt, which again was Passover, April, the first month, but it's on May, the second month. May is all about the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, and the Jewish temple. Okay? In verse 18 of Numbers 1, they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they registered by ancestry of their families, by their fathers' households, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, head by head. And so, when God tells Moses, or when God tells you or me to do something, Eddie and I were referring to this after our video this morning, there is a time for everything, and God is the author of appointed times. When we talk about Jewish feast days, the actual word is appointed times. And we know there's these seven major feast days, but that doesn't mean that God's day calendar or his appointed times don't also speak prophetically of other events, including the month of May or the second month. In Numbers 10:11, we read that it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off of the tabernacle of testimony, and the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And so, again, on the 20th day of the second month, up to now, they've been just hanging out. They came out of the Exodus. They've been hanging out at Sinai. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the law. They had the golden calf incident, you know, and we know how that all went, right? And now God has established the nation, and he's established the law. He's given them what they need to go forward. You can't go forward until you got what you need. Amen? God gives us what we need, and then he asks us to go forward. And it was on this second month that the cloud lifted, and they begin their wilderness wandering journey. You know, it was only supposed to be 2 years, right? That was their Bible college, 2 years. Bible colleges should never be 4 years. They should be 2 years, the way Moses did it, right? But at the end of the 2 years, they were fearful, and they wandered another 38 years, right? So that's where we get the 40. All right, in 1 Kings chapter 6, this is Solomon and the temple chapter. It came to pass, came about in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv. What did we say the month of Ziv was? Second month, right? Which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That it was in May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. It was that month of May when Solomon began to build the temple. Now, there's a lot in this verse. God wants us to know that it was 480 years from the Exodus. I did a little number search and got totally off track, as you can run down rabbit trails till you finally go, okay, I'm not messing with this anymore. The only conclusion that I came up with is that for some reason God likes to let everything bake for about 400 years. 400 seems to be the time. Now, I'm not saying everything is exactly 400, but from what I did on all these rabbit trails, the only conclusion I could get was that 400 years plus, in this case 480, 400 years plus is when God allows all of this stuff to prepare for these major events, okay? This was a major event. This was a pinnacle in the history of Israel. When Solomon built the temple, it was the most grandiose, splendorous temple that mankind had ever seen. By today's standards, it would be worth billions and billions of dollars, the amount of gold and silver and precious stones and bronze. It was a sight to behold. And it was began on the second month. And then we read in verse 37 and 38, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house laid in the month of Ziv. So, again, they started construction. They got the foundation laid on also that same month, what we would call May. In the 11th year in the month of Bull, which is the 8th month of the house, it was finished, all the parts of it thereof. And according to all the fashion, so it was 7 years in the building. There's another one of those magic sevens, right? Notice that it was in the 11th year that it was finished. And so it took 7 years from the foundation was laid to build it. And it was the 8th month. Now, we're already on the 2nd month, so that's 6 months later, which God loves to do those six-month flips, doesn't he? And so it was probably about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles when it was finished. And we could, if you've ever heard me do a teaching on the rapture, there's a holiday for every time the rapture could occur. I used to think, I found it. It's going to be on the Feast of Tabernacles when they dedicated the temple. And then I see this, and then I see this. So God loves to play the shell game with us on that one. We're still working on it. When we get to Ezra, remember Ezra is after the temple's been destroyed and there's a 70-year Babylonian captivity. And we read in Ezra chapter 3, verse 8, now in the second year of their coming out, coming to the house of God at Jerusalem in the second month, there we are, second month, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak and the rest of their brothers and the priests and the Levites and all came from the captivity to Jerusalem to begin to work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. So not only did Solomon's temple start its construction in the month of May, but Ezra's temple, the rebuilding of the temple, also began in what we would call the month of May, right? So I want to go back now. We've kind of got the foundation set. Apparently God is focusing May as the month for the Jewish people to be established and their temple to be built. And I would be surprised, though I'm not making any kind of emphatic prediction, I would be totally surprised if the third temple is not begin construction in the month of May. Not necessarily this May, but the month of May. I mean, God uses these patterns for a reason, right? So I want to go back and look at 1 Kings 6:1. And we talked about the 400 years, but I want to focus in on, because, you know, God puts all this stuff here for a reason. And he tells us that this 400 plus years was after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. And as I said earlier, you really don't have a nation Israel until the Exodus. You have a people Israel, but you don't have a nation Israel. Everything that was Israel, was identified as Israel, as the nation Israel, began at the Exodus. It has been compared to our life as believers, because they had to believe. If they didn't believe, they wouldn't have put the blood on the doorpost, right? That's silly. I won't die sticking blood on a doorpost, you know, right? So they had to believe the word, right? That's how we believe. That's how we get saved. We believe the word. The word says, you know, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. We put our trust in the blood. They put their trust in the blood. They were saved. We're saved. The second aspect of the Exodus is that they passed through the Red Sea. Some have compared that to baptism. We're not saved by baptism, but it is an outward sign of an inward happening, right? And they could have said, well, you know, I'm glad God saved me, but I don't really trust this Moses. How do I know that that water's not going to squish all over me when I get out there? I think I'll just stay here and, you know, let Pharaoh kill me. And there's a lot of Christians who don't have everything that God wants them to have in life because they are not obedient to some of the things that God wants them to be obedient to. So the blood, the doorpost, passing through the Red Sea, and then on the second month, numbered among the believers, right? That's why the Bible says that if you confess, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I used to know a preacher, anytime someone got saved at altar, he'd tell them, go tell three people you got saved. Because if you're not willing to do that, you probably didn't get saved. Because when you have a radical born-again experience, you got to tell somebody. I tell somebody what Jesus did for me, right? And if you're not willing to confess him before men, he's not willing to confess you. And so they were numbered among the believers. When we confess Jesus, we are numbered among the believers. Amen? And so that's the date that God established for the second month for the building of Solomon's temple. Now, when they left Egypt, it was physical, wasn't spiritual. In fact, they were not very spiritual. They were pretty carnal. You know, there's the gold calf, there's a murmuring, you know. We missed the beets. We missed the good food in Egypt. I don't know, they can have beets if you ask me. Some people like them. So it's been said it took God, you know, just a short time to get 40 days to get Egypt out, Israel out of Egypt, 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And sometimes that's the same with us. It's a life journey. It's an experience from day to day. And we may be very obedient in this area, and we may be more selfish about what I want in this area. And God has to give us whooping sometimes, a correction. And he's growing us into, from glory to glory, the Bible says, into the image of Christ. Amen. So eventually they gained spirituality. They ate food, manna, called angel's food. They were given the Ten Commandments. They were given the law, which they call the law, the book of Moses, books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. They learned temple worship in their Bible college in the wilderness. They learned about the tabernacle in the wilderness, all the construction, all the articles, the building of all of those things, the golden lampstand and the lavers and all of these things. And they even became a mighty military force. You know, once God was ready, you know, we're going to go kill all these giants and all these things, right? So the life experience that they gained prepared them for what was going to come. So they were given the law, the books of Moses. That would be like our Bible, right? And Genesis taught them, of course. Genesis is about the beginnings. And the Exodus was about the departure of Egypt, which, again, we talked about our beginnings, our departure from the world. The Leviticus learned the priesthood, learned all of their Levitical laws for priests, and then Numbers was really, Numbers is about God's presence with them. Not only did they learn how to set up the tabernacle in the wilderness and all of the aspects of it, but it was all about God's presence with them. In Numbers, we see the story of Balaam. Remember, Balaam was told to go curse Israel. And it's interesting that Balak takes him up to a high mountain where he's looking down at him from this side and from that side, and he pronounces blessings. Well, we learn from the book of Numbers about how the Jews encamped north, south, east, and west. So God gave him a top view as a clue to us to do the math, and we see that there was a cross in the wilderness around the temple. And so we see God's presence there. Amen. And then, of course, finally, Deuteronomy is kind of pretty much means the word. And remember when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 6, that his response to Satan was all from Deuteronomy. It is written, it is written, it is written. In fact, I would say that every Christian should spend time in Deuteronomy as well as the New Testament on a consistent basis. All right. Now, the book of Galatians tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God bless you, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And again, God does everything on his planned schedule. It was the fullness of time. It was time. It wasn't a day sooner. It wasn't a day later. Jesus came on schedule. Amen. I believe God has a schedule. I don't believe anything catches him by surprise. Yesterday we had men's breakfast, and God woke me up. He's been waking me up really early because I've been slothful about Bible reading. So, you know, like a good father, he's like, get your rear out of bed. And so I was up at 5, and I was in my office reading, and I looked at the clock, and it was about 7:45. Men's breakfast is 8:30. I look again, it's 12 after. So I was only 5 minutes late. I was probably breaking the law just a teensy bit on my way to Tahlequah yesterday. But God doesn't ever lose track of time. God is never late. God knows what time it is all the time. He doesn't have to look for his phone or a watch. God is in control. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about this 400 thing that I did my little rabbit chase on. From Malachi to Matthew, they call it the 400 silent years. It's actually a little more than 400, depending on, you know, and this is what was frustrating with my study, is that the more I Googled, the more professors gave me dates that didn't line up with the other professors on when Malachi was written and a lot of these things. So I finally said, okay, Lord, well, this is a fruitless effort here. I'm just going to say 400 plus years, okay? And so they call it the 400 silent years. And then, you know, we see that it was from our text in 1 Kings 6, that it was over 400 years when the temple was being constructed. And so what we come to is, and this is what really, and I hope I can communicate it, because this was the real revelation that I got this last week. It was in May of 1611 that the Authorized King James Version Bible was published for the first time, May 2nd, second month. And when you think about going back to Israel and the Exodus, it wasn't, the cloud didn't lift and they didn't go forward until Moses had given them the law. So that was their Bible, those first five books. And then they were able to go forward. And then it was 480 years in the temple was built. And so I'm not trying to be a date setter, and I'm not saying that the temple is going to be built this coming year. I'm simply saying that there is a pattern of 400 plus years, and there is a pattern for the month of May, whatever year that may be. And for the Jews, they were given the law, and that's when their 400 years started. And we were given the Authorized King James Version Bible, and it's been 408 years come this May. So when you think about the Bible, there's a thousand, a million beautiful things you could look at in it. I just kind of thought I'd throw this out there since we're going to talk a little bit about the power and authority of the Bible in the life of the believer. The three questions, the first question was from Satan. Satan was more crafty than any beast of the field the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, these are questions, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, the first question from Satan was to get Eve to doubt the word of God. I really think that we have taken the King James Bible, or our Bible, if you will, highly for granted. Because next to our salvation, next to the blood of Jesus, the resurrection, and his promise coming, the greatest gift that anyone has ever received is the canonized word of Almighty God. I mean, so many people, they want a word from God and they never open their Bible. And I'm like, you got a whole bunch of them right there. Read it. So we see the first question from the devil is to get people to not believe the word of God. Do you know that you can be depressed and you can read a promise in the word of God and you can believe it and the clouds will vanish? I don't know any TV show or book that can do that other than the Bible. It is the word of God. And it was given to the world on May 2nd, 1611. The second question came from God. It was about Adam. He said, where are you? It's a good question. It's a question we should all ask ourselves from God's perspective. Where am I at? Where am I at spiritually? We know where Adam was. He was hiding because he was naked. And he knew he was naked because he disobeyed the word of God. You know, you cannot know that you disobey the word of God unless you read the word of God. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that I've spoken to you. He can't bring to remembrance the things that he's spoken to you unless you read the word. Amen? And the third question, the first question in the New Testament, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? So God asked Adam, where are you? And in the New Testament, they're saying, where is he? Amen. So the central figure of our Bible is King Jesus. Amen. And just as we should all ask ourselves, where am I at? We should also say, Lord, where are you? I want to be where you're at. You know, Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow the way. And sometimes we get off on the wrong road and all of a sudden we realize, oh man, I think I'm on the wide road. I need to double back. I missed a turn at the fork and Jesus went another way. So the question is this spring the fullness of time? Is it possible because of the 70 years? Is it possible that we will see the rapture of the church, a Mideast war, and the foundation of the temple built? before May. Could that happen before May? Sure it could. It absolutely could. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it won't. I'm saying that we as watchmen, we are looking at months and we're looking at 70 years. That's not up for debate. It has been 70 years. So we should be like Daniel when he saw his 70 years were up. We should be praying. We should be watching. We should be confessing. We should be ready. Amen. And that's what Jesus said. Watch ye therefore. You know not when the master of the house comes. Even at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. And so this is a message about watching. We're watching dates. We're watching times. We're watching seasons and so on. Now, the Lord, I love when God gives me parables from my life because they, you know, parables are all about getting you to see something from a perspective you've never seen before. And I was really feeling like, I needed an ending to this message. Just one of those, you know, Holy Ghost umps. And I'm driving in to town this morning from Fort Gibson. And I'm at the area where the divided highway ends, and so you just got that middle turning lane, and it's kind of making, I think it's just before you get to the log store, it kind of makes a turn to the right. And all of a sudden the Lord took me back to a day years ago where the snow was covering the road. And I came from work, so it's, you know, it's around 5 o'clock, get off at 4:30, I was coming back to Tahlequah. Around 5 o'clock, and it had snowed so much, and there were so few people on the road that you really couldn't even see the tire tracks. And I'm coming in that area, and I look up, and here's a guy coming straight at me. Now, he's far enough back. I'm not like saying he's, you know, his car looks pretty small. And I say to myself, what's that idiot doing? He's coming straight toward me. Now, be careful before you be so judgmental. Because I realized that he wasn't coming straight toward me. The road was curving. I was going straight toward him. Now, isn't that funny how you can have two different perspectives? You can see something and say, it's that guy and it's not me. But then all of a sudden, something changes and you realize it's me, it's not that guy. Now, how did I, what was it? There's no lines visible. There's no tire tracks visible. What was it that I saw that made me realize I was in the wrong? Anybody? It's pretty simple. It's not a trick question. I look over to the right, and I'm seeing the shoulder is farther over than it should be. I mean, that's the only way, right? You see that, and you go, and then you go, oh, it's me. You know, the road's curving. I wasn't curving with the road. There's no lines. It's just snow. Now, I said that to say the Bible is our boundaries. It's the curb. It gives us the direction that the road is going. And in a world of obscurity and fake news and deception and lies, without the Word of God, we have no form of direction for our lives. Amen? For the Jews, it was the Exodus and the law on the second month, the month of May. For the Christians, it is our Bible from the month of May. We're not looking for a physical temple. You know, if you ask the Jews, how will you know your Messiah? He'll build our temple. That's their answer. They're waiting. And we know the Antichrist is going to deceive them, right? But for you and I, we're not looking for the temple to be built. We're looking for the rapture. And the author of all of that has given us his word. And it is what we hold in our hands. The Jews had a temple. From the month of May, we have our Bible. And it is the greatest gift that God has given the church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today and for each person here. This would be a great ear-tickling message, Lord, if nobody went out of here more on fire to read and study your word. I pray that you would build a fire in all of us, Lord, to just become so in love afresh with your word, the greatest gift you've given us next to our salvation. And help us, as Jesus said, to continue to watch. We know at any moment you could come and take us home. 70 years are proof of just how close we are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.